a field trip to the potter's house. A field trip to the potter's house.
A lot of us can remember back when we were in school, they had field trips. I don't know if they still go on field trips. Nah. Schools and things have changed so much that they don't go on field trips anymore. And I don't know how many of us profited from going on these field trips. But this morning we see where a prophet was sent on a field trip. And he was sent down to the potter's house. He was sent down and to observe something and to understand God better. You know, all things are done with God in mind. And if we would walk with God, not before God, but if we would walk with God as Enoch did, if we would do like Job did in unshown evil, that God would make himself manifest to us, which he's done to every soul that has been here on the earth. The grace of God had appeared to all men, no matter what dispensation, if you want to be a dispensationalist, no matter what dispensation it is, the grace of God had appeared to all men. Now, it may be enough for common salvation, but in this day and time, it's for a particular shaping and forming and making you a vessel meet for the master's use. And it is a purpose wherewith he's doing this, and he's working forth in our life. There's a vocation, there's a work he's doing, and this is not for nothingness. So in this field trip, just like the trip we own through this world, this pilgrim journey that we're on as we sojourner through the earth, we see the sovereignty of God. Jeremiah was to observe the sovereignty of God. He was to also, through intuition or perception, through the Spirit, he would realize the predestination of God. That's a terminology the Calvinists and people who follow that, a lot of them call them Calvinists. But what happens is we start to see that God had a vision of love for us before the foundations of the world. Before the foundations of the world, there was a reason and a purpose for all God had did. We're coming from the book of Jeremiah this morning, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. So with that theme, the sovereignty of God and predestination, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will cause thee to hear my word." Seems like there has to be obedience involving in hearing and walking with God, and God revealing himself to us, and for us to start understanding the workings of God's creation and understanding that very God. It says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the potter's hands. And he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. And what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto it. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent." Some versions say relent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. "Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you, That's the rub the modern day evangelists and the televangelists who say God has nothing but good for you and you're wonderful and everything's rosy, rosy, rosy. He says, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one of you from the evil of his way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there's no hope, but we will walk out our own devices and we will everyone do the imaginations of our evil heart. We've read as an opening scripture, nay, but O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to it that formed it, why hast thou made me such? That's a statement of ignorance, and Paul anticipated that the reason he postulated this question to the people, and it was said in sarcasm. Was it sarcasm? What? Why did he say it like this? Because let's look at Jeremiah, back at what Jeremiah is saying. And like I said, you have to have initiated, or at least God has to initiate it, some sort of dialogue with you, that you are saved, that the people were saved, that had been in communication with God. They had been hearing God's voice. God had been talking to them through the prophets. But this was a disobedient people, but now he was talking to obedient prophet. We're to take the word of God personally. We're to take it is that God speaking to each and every one of us. That just like Jeremiah went to the potter's house, we have to go down to the potter's house. If we hear God speaking to us, God's going to send us. And God usually on that field trip, he teaches us. He shows us by his spirit just what it is he's doing through us and what's our purpose in life. In the book of Ephesians, it says that he had chosen us from the foundations of the world that we should be holy. Verse 4 of the first chapter of Ephesians, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in Christ, and that in love, having predestinated us. In other words, he had foredetermined before anything ever was, from the invisible times of the world, unto us the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He says, this adds to toward the 11th and 12th verse of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, Ephesians chapter 2, he says, and you he had quickened, he had made you alive in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, but if we are the children of obedience, as Jeremiah was, if that he's causing us to observe the world, and see, we're to watch in the world. Where he puts little phrase words throughout the Bible. If you notice to us, a many word in the Bible given. And we have to take hold of these words. They're not just tossed out there for anything. They're just not tossed out there to be tossed out there. We have to take heed to these words. How many times he uses the phrase, take heed, in the New Testament? Countless numbers of time he says, take heed to yourself. In other words, be careful of yourself. Examine yourself. When a man thinking he'd stand, he said, take heed lest you fall. You see, we go through this life with our eyes closed. We go through life sleep, not knowing that this is a tedious journey that we are on. So listening at the song, Mahalia Jackson say, walk with me, Lord, while I'm on this tedious journey. There's all kinds of peril all around you. Satan is a devouring lion looking to devour whom he may. We can't go through the world saying anything we want to say, because those words, our very words, help us to be marred in the potter's hand. You notice that these people were in the potter's hand in that vessel. He said the vessel was marred in the potter's hand. Read that again. Jeremiah 18 chapter. He said that the vessel, verse 4, and that the vessel he had made was marred in the hands of the potter. And he had to break that vessel and make it another vessel. You see, because a lot of times right here in the church, we apostatize away from God by listening at other gospels, by listening at other preachers, by listening at other people. We're not taking heed to what we hear. He says, take heed to what you hear. Take heed who you listen to. We looked at that Wednesday night that because of Adam taking heed to his wife, he said, because you've listened to your wife, you've plunged the whole human race into condemnation. You've sold out the whole human race because you've listened to your wife. He says, you listen to Sarah. See, we have to listen, watch who we listen to. We have to be careful. Samson said he loved his wife and he told her his most intimate secret with God. A lot of times the people that we tell the most intimate of things are the very ones that traps us in that thing. We're not being careful to the word of God about speaking. He says, be slow to speak. We just run our trap all the time, and it's our very own words that condemn us. Jesus said, by your words you shall be condemned. You see, when Job wanted counsel with God, he didn't listen at his wife, but he kept talking and talking. And God says, here I am, Job. You desire counsel with me. Stand up like a man. Job said, I should have held myself. He ducked. He tried to avoid standing up to God. Adam, he listened at his wife. And God says, where art thou, Adam? He says, I've hidden myself. If you a man, what you doing things that make you or cause you to run and hide? Men have to be walking upright. You become marred by the world. The world has caused you to be marred because he made man upright. You see, if we've been broken vessels, and a lot of us been broken in our lives, God has broken a lot of us, and we hadn't prospered from that breaking. See, he has to make us a new vessel. We can't be that old world, earthly vessel, because we're in Adam. We have to be broken away from Adam. He made us new creatures, new creature. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, the world, we had been shaped and formed in iniquity. We had been shaped and formed by this world. We used to walk as this world walked. But now we have to stand up against the things of this world. We have to stand up against this world system. If we're friends with the world, we can't be friends with God. We can't love God and love the world. How many times he used the word behold in Scripture? Behold. That's a common usage, a word that's used a whole lot of times in the Bible. Behold. When he says behold, he wants you to take and look and examine the word that he's telling you. He wants you to have introspect into this world. He wants you to have particular, a vibrant look at what's going on around you. See, we don't know how to behold something. Beauty is to be beheld. In other words, you to look at it not as an admiration of something to be idolized or worship, but you to examine that by beholding it, because beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And that which seems to be beautiful, since God made the world from things that are not, in the visible things of this world, and the God had made it not from the visible thing. This is not the real world we're looking at. To unwrap that a little bit, go to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. You see, that's what we love this world. In this world is passing away. We love this world and the things of the world. And it says, love not this world, for the things of this world is passing away. That's what he made it from, things that are temporal. We shouldn't love it. Hebrews 11 chapter, starting at the first verse, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, which are not made of things which do appear. Isn't that that? So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. This world system, of the ages of this world system, is passing away. For God had framed that as a mold in which he was using to shape the world. I don't know if you're familiar with pottery, with plaster of Paris, and with things that require a mold. When you make something from a mold, what you normally do is that you toss the mold away. When you finished, you toss the mold away when you finish the product. In other words, the product is poured into the mold, and then after you remove the product from the mold, you cast the mold away. Well, we are the product that's being made. These bodies are just earthly vessels. They're clay vessels that he had made as containers. The treasure, the real treasure, he had put it in earthen vessels. We are earthen vessels, and those are what God had put it in. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm sorry, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. In the 47th verse. He says, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they that are earthly. A lot of us are earthly, and we're so earthly, we're not any spiritual good. We're not any spiritual good. And that's where he's condemned sin, is in the flesh. We love the flesh. We are made of dirt, and we shall return to dirt. From dust we come, and from dust we shall return. But see, those that's made in the mold, in the likeness, in the image of Jesus Christ, they are made eternal. They are being made eternal. And God shows us how to be made those lively stones, built, fitly framed into the house of God. See, Peter said that God showed him how to pull off this earthly tabernacle. This is just a tent that we dwell in. You can't make clay houses for God's spirit to dwell in. So we made with this body, but we have to pull off this mortal body. This body is mortal. That mortal body of Jesus Christ, the one that they hid in a grave, it was sold a terrestrial body. And we talked about that in Bible study, that it's an earthly body, that it's terrestrial, that there are different types of body. And go up to verse 40 of 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians. It says, there are also, flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. We're talking about the flesh itself now. It says there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. The body, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is another. There's a different glory and a praise of men of earthly bodies. See, men praise one another and they worship one another, which is vanity, which is passing away. During the time of the flood, there were many men of renown. In other words, popular men with giant stature, in other words, with world-renowned names that passed away. And there are many men of world renown now, but that name is of no standing to God, because that's from the invisible things. Those aren't real things. See, because us that's being shaped as a celestial body, which is a different glory, which is a spiritual glory, that's the glory Jesus Christ had. That's the one that he was shaped and formed in, not the body. See, you have to change bodies. This mortal has to put on immortality. This corruptible body, we have to pull it off. But that same image and likeness is in the image and likeness of God. So when we come back as spiritual bodies, he looked at it as Jesus. They recognized Jesus Christ, but it was a different body. That's why he says, "Fill my body." Does flesh and blood have, it doesn't have a body and form like this. They were able to stick his hand in their hand in his body, but it was the same Jesus that they had walked with and talked with. He was known to them. But with that body, he was able to walk through walls. With that body, it wasn't in disrepair. It wasn't going to suffer corruption anymore. See, we have to be put into a different, but this vessel, he made the bodies in which to place the disobedient spirits, to chasten them and to subject them into vanity, to nothingness. That's why they return to dirt, those that are in the earth and those that live for the earth. So there's one glory to one and another glory to the other. Back over to the 47th verse, it says, "And as is the earth, such are they that are also earthly. And is the heavenly, such are also they that are heavenly." Now, we're dead in Christ Jesus. That's why we don't worry about what man can do to the body. We don't fear those that can destroy the body. The body is not that important. Our body is no longer our bodies. Our bodies belong to God. So we can't do what we want to do with these bodies anymore, because they're the clay vessels that contain Jesus Christ. We understand that. So we can't join this body to a harlot or anything, because it represents Christ. Remember, we're dead. If we're in Christ, we're dead. Where is our life? Our life is in heaven, because we sit in heavenly places. There's a resurrection. We were buried with him in death. So we shouldn't fear the things that man can do to this body. What we should be doing is crucifying this body. We should be killing this body. We should not let sin reign in this mortal body, where we would obey it in the fleshly lust thereof. We should mortify. Mortify means to make dead. What does a mortician do? He dresses a dead body. We have to mortify our bodies, that sin wouldn't reign in these bodies. If we yield ourselves as members to unrighteousness, as I was saying, as our mayor did, he yield himself to unrighteousness. And this guy, the police chief's trying to establish righteousness. Well, our mayor, he came from clay just like everybody else did. The Aryan place where he came, that caused him to be marred. He hadn't been purged of all his wicked ways. He's done very wickedly here. But we still have people in the church that's also marred, that a lot of these pastors and things and people that were profiting from what the police chief done, but they're not going to stand with them, because that's what he was showing Jeremiah when Jeremiah was at the potter's hand, that through the sovereignty of God, God had made some vessels to be taken and destroyed. He had made the fathers of life that he made to become rulers, but that they should do wickedly. Pharaoh was ruler over all Egypt, but he wouldn't allow Moses to do what God wanted Moses to do. When somebody hinder you, they're not hindering you, they're hindering God. They're trying to hinder God. That's why when the Hebrew wives did what was right by God, God blessed them. That's why Peter said we should obey God rather than man. We have this problem here, and where it becomes a nation, when he says, if that nation shall not turn. See, that's how a city, a town, a nation gets punished along with their leaders and rulers. That's how Israel was judged. That's how Judah was judged. because not all of Israel was corrupt. There was a remnant that was standing. Jeremiah was one of the ones that was standing, and he was giving him light. In this day and time, God is giving his people light. He's speaking to his people. His people are seeing things. But if you are marred, if you are corrupt, you're drawn to this. The police union of this city is corrupt. We've been known as corrupt. During Hurricane Katrina, the officers from New Mexico, from Michigan, and other places say, we can't work with the Baton Rouge Police Department. They're corrupt. This department has been corrupt. And the mayor, by his fear of men, he made know of this corruption, but he hadn't did anything for the people of zip code 70802 or 05, any of those other areas. He catered to the other people, just like during the times of Judah, the rich or the wealthy people were involved in cultural wars. So this guy is trying to do what's right, but the mayor won't stand behind it. I don't know if you ever watched the Blue Blood or not, Blue Bloods that come on Friday nights. And I was telling my wife, this is exactly like that. The commissioner who Tom Selleck plays, a Reagan, there's a mayor, an African-American mayor on there, who's consistently trying to get the police chief to do corrupt things. He tries to micromanage the police department. But he says, now you remember, you serve at my wish, I appoint the police chief. That is correct, he says, but you don't own me. He says, I work for the city of New York City, and it's my job to do what's right. Don't let a corrupt governor, a corrupt mayor, a corrupt spouse, corrupt children, corrupt parents, corrupt employees, and anyone cause you to corrupt yourself. Don't allow your wife, don't allow your husband. If they go out and defile themselves, two wrongs don't make a right. You don't have to go out and defile yourself. If your spouse commit adultery, you don't have to commit adultery. You're defiling yourself. And God tells in the church in Revelation, he says, now this is what I have against these people. He says, but you do this, else I'll come and fight against you. He don't say get in the mud and get in the dirt along with these people. You have to stay above these things. See, Jeremiah, when he was observing this on that field trip, he seen that clay was clay. That the potter just took clay and he put it on the wheel. That clay has to be on the center of that wheel, or it'll get all out of shape and twist out of the wheel. Off the wheel, it has to have balance to it. But it's the potter. God's sovereignty over the clay to make each vessel what he wants to make of that vessel. It's not up to that vessel. You see, and we have vessels today that want to do what they want to do. Well, there's a certain rules that the mayor's supposed to abide by. He violated all these rules. His own laws that the city had made, he violated ways in which to terminate this guy. But see, we're not working or living in a dictatorship where you just do what you want to do. That is why we have unions. If here the union have abrogated their position and they've turned inward, we have to watch, like I said, beholding. In other words, you have to listen to both sides of the thing. You have to be impartial because we have to, through Christ's righteousness, we have to establish righteousness in the land by faith. That's the only way we go grow. And we can't look weak and frail. That's why the mayor did what he did. Because when people are afraid of people, and look at any political parties, they go with what's winning. What we have to do is we have to be loyal or faithful to someone. And that someone that most people are not being faithful to is God. When we sin, the sin is against God. When David sinned, he didn't say he sinned against Bathsheba, he sinned against God. So we're to remain faithful to God. But these vessels was marred, and that's why we have to purge anything that's not like God out of us. And as we try to do that, God gives us the strength to do that. See, because the devils in hell can't pluck us out of the hands of God. But we ourselves couldn't corrupt ourselves. Balaam couldn't curse the children of Israel. But if you notice, he told Balak, he says, now to get them to be cursed, what you can do is cause them to commit fornication, where through their lust and their desires for the Moabites, they brought this upon themselves. You can bring curses upon yourself. The wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. God used that opening of the eyes to so that we can see. See, he allowed Jeremiah to see just by doing what the potter was doing. Jeremiah understood when he was what he argued with God about in several of the other chapters of why was he destroying the people? Why was he doing what he was doing? Because God does what he wants to do. He's God. He's sovereign. But if we also believe in predestination and also believe in God, as Abraham did, he says, God, woe be it to you, far be it from you to destroy the righteous with the wicked. We do know God is right and just. So that is a reason God does what he does. A lot of times things befall our children, our spouses, other people, or tragedies happen nationwide. And we ask God why. Just because we don't know the answer doesn't mean that there's not a good reason or that God's not working out his purposes, because all things work together for good for those that love the Lord. All things. He causes all things to happen. Now, if you're not in the groove with God, if he hadn't opened your eyes, you can't see how to walk down here. You're going to make bad decisions. You're going to not hear what people are telling you. You're not going to see the burning bushes. You're not going to hear God says, this is my beloved son. Because by operating along with the vessels of this world, we become marred. You remember I told you, you have to be careful who you hear. You go around listening to all preachers, listening to all your friends. You're going against what God's word says. Take heed what you hear. Well, who you listen to? Revelations 3 and 18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and have white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame and thy nakedness do not appear. This was the Laodicean church he was talking to. They had many worldly goods. They thought that they were rich and had need of nothing. This guy had forgotten where he came from, back across the railroad tracks in Scotlandville. And now he's forgotten who had given him power to get wealth. Sometimes we achieve or get things in our life. We get in a fine marriage. We get on a nice job. We get things in life and forgot God had brought us from there, what we are. And as John said, he loved to see his children walking in love. Walking that God started to talk with them. When you start to be able to see things in other people, you realize your errors are things that you've done wrong, and you can judge a situation correctly, and you won't make those same mistakes, and you'll try to help other people that making those mistakes, because you have seen the potter, and that the potter doesn't deal with marred vessels, that he have to break marred vessels. So if your children are going astray, your friends going astray, someone's going astray, that you go tell them, don't do these things. This is what happened. God does this. Bad will come into your life. You will be a witness for God. You will be an evangelist for God. You will be preaching or witnessing the right things in life. You will tell them. So these Laodiceans was blind, wretched, and naked. But God says, and buy from me, he says, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. These people had all those things, but they couldn't see spiritual things. When you start being able to see in the spiritual realm, you don't look at a woman for her shape. You don't look at a man for his shape. You don't look at a car for its beauty, because that outward beauty is, that's in the eyes of the beholder. That's not what that really is. Many a man, many a woman, then got into some terrible marriages because that person or that thing looked it good. And it was death. It was death to them. That person had ugly ways. They had an ugly attitude. They had an ugly disposition. Their character was ugly, but they had a pretty wrapper. That's what things are placed in, a pretty wrapper. Sin has to be appealing or you wouldn't sin. But after you eat that big old piece of fried chicken or that big old T-bone steak or something, you pay the price later on. You see that maybe I shouldn't have chosen that. All things are lawful when all things aren't expedient. If God brings you there, if God guides you and leads you and brings you there. So that's why I said, he said about beholding, we should behold things. So he said about hearing seven times in the book of Revelations, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. Everyone, just because they have a physical ear on side of their head, doesn't hear. They don't hear God. That's why he says, he that had an ear, let him hear. Everyone cannot hear preaching. God had caused them to, their ears to be closed. He had caused their eyes to be blind because they're not searching for God. And he says, lest they find the gospel and be converted and their sins blotted out. He caused this because these people wasn't looking for God for God. They were looking for physical things. You can deceive yourself, but you can't deceive God. You can't come in the house of God and become what you want. Notice that these people said, the law shouldn't perish from us. Let us kill Jeremiah, and then things will start going the way we want it to go. You can't get rid of the police chief. You can't get rid of people that's standing upright. You can't get rid of the president. You can't get rid of these people, and then you run the world the way you want. God is sovereign. He's bringing about his will. He's using these people to bring these things out. And if you could see that, you can fall into these blessings. But if you can't see and hear God talking, you go fight against this. That's why Gamaliel said, be careful now, unless you happily find yourself fighting against God. You can read God's word but not understand what it says and be cursed because you're not being spiritually led. You're being physically led. If we look at John, we're getting close here. If we look at the book of John, the 10th chapter, 1st to the 5th verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entered not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbing up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And there's a lot of people that are in it into the sheepfold. There'll be many false shepherds out there. God's going to smite many of those shepherds, but he also will allow many of those shepherds to deceive the people. He sends false pastors out there to draw those away that's not true to God. That's why you have so many churches, so many things going on, because things that are not true to God. These, you know, the Pharisees didn't go into the praetorium with Jesus because if they'd have went into where the Gentiles was, they would have defiled themselves. That was the day of the feast, the next day. So they was trying to get Jesus murdered. Now these people murdering Jesus, but they're wanting to stay clean. They didn't want to be defiled by going into the Gentiles. That's why they didn't enter into the praetorium where Pilate was. But Annas and all of them were so religious that they didn't want to break religious law in the way that they killed Jesus. They were so religious that they didn't put the blood money that they gave Judas to betray Jesus and kill him. They said, well, we can't put this in the treasury. It's blood money. We'll have the potter's fear. But you that religious that you go observe that much religion, but we'll kill God and we go do it this way. We won't put it in there. You know, that's kind of, if you look at that, it falls along the same lines. We don't want to kill him on this day. Kill him but don't kill him on this day. This is our holy day. Strange. Okay. He says, but he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opened, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So when people leave me, or leave here, or leave a certain church, or leave a pastor said, well, no, that's really not my sheep. They actually do belong in another church or something, because they would realize that I was the true shepherd. They would know God's voice through me. See, you wouldn't go around listening at every other preacher, because that's what you call spiritual adultery. I didn't say that you can't listen to other messages. I'm talking about, as some people go to, I don't know how many different churches they're pastored by, I don't know how many different churches. And they don't know which one to believe. But if you notice, the good churches or the better churches say, well, if you do any donation to this ministry, well, you make sure that you be donated to your church, that you're in right standing with your church. If you come to Bible study or church here, make sure y'all not having church at your church. When you see people going from church to church, visiting all these churches, and their pastors don't know anything about it, that's spiritual adultery. That's a problem, because he has to give account for you. So his sheep doesn't listen at anybody else. But the potter, before he went to mold that vessel, he saw what the finished end of that vessel is. God had saw what we were from the foundations of the world, and he said that he had chosen you for a purpose. That's why you have to be listening to God and walk in circumspect and be led by the Spirit, because that's a certain place in the body of the church that each and every one of us belong in. We have to make sure of our calling. Make sure of that calling, and that you're listening, and God's going to contour you and shape you and form you where you belong. You will be happy where God puts you. You will love serving where God puts you. It's going to come natural to you. You know, a metal worker can almost talk to that metal. He can feel that tin. He can shape it. God had given him a spirit of craftsmanship. We noticed that when we were studying about the temple. It's some people that could work with metal. They can take that metal and craft it and bend it and shape it and bake it and prime it and do all sorts of things with that. And we need to respect that. And God puts some people, they can, man, they're the best grass cutters I've seen. I remember a guy we know, he's called Gut. I told my neighbor, I said, I can tell Gut cut that yard. I can tell when he didn't cut that yard, because that yard looked it perfect when he cut it. There are some people that can do very good things. I like to see Peyton Manning. That's one thing I watch in football. He's an artist with that football. I used to love to see Barry Sanders run that football. He's a natural with it. Have you ever seen a master at work? And that's what he was showing, that the master, he knows what the finished product, he can do these things. There's something God had made for you to do. You won't feel uncomfortable doing it. If you do what God created you for to do, you won't work a day in your life. Because you take a joy in doing it. That's what you were created for. That's what you were created for. When you start to walk in God, you will appreciate his laws. When you start to get in close union with God, you're not going to fight and struggle. You're going to try to contribute more. And Jeremiah was a stronger prophet after he left the potter's house, because he seen all this wasn't arbitrary. It wasn't chaos, that this potter, God was the potter, and that he had shaped and formed and molded each one of us. He had a plan for us all, and he called each one of us by name. Just like he called Lazarus to life, he's trying to call each and every one of us to life, and that to eternal life. Eternal life is with Jesus Christ and him alone. And he can give you that life. He can give you that strength as Caleb had. In your older days, you can start dressing. You can start walking. You can start being that light to other people. People are going to notice that you've been with Jesus, because all of your desires will start coming to pass. It's going to start being easier to fight the fights of God. You're not going to be tired because you're not going to be physically fighting the fight. The fight is spiritual. That's why you go feel good to get there and pray to God, just like Peter and Paul and Silas and Barnabas. You can be in jail and you'll preach and rejoice and clap with God. You'll be strong in God because you don't care what they do to you. You just want to please him who you serve. You will come to life when the potter starts shaping you. He's going to get all that envy out. How would you love to not be hating anymore? Not be envious? See, when he starts getting these imperfections out of the clay, how would you like to just not be angry anymore? To not be jealous with anyone anymore? To be able to love all men. Don't care how much they hate you. Don't care how much you just want to do what Christ told you to do. You could do it. His commandments are not going to be grievous unto you. Once we start allowing the potter to work with us, he died by his stripes we were healed. You will start seeing no matter what age you are. You will start seeing that this physical body is behaving in a different way, and you're not going to gloat in the physical. See, that's what happens with some people that come from nothing, that their pride gets in there. See, when pride gets in there, you flaunt your body. See, but when God's in there, you want to cover your body. You know, that's when you see a woman that's half naked or see a man that's half naked or flaunting himself. He don't blow to anyone. He's trying to find somebody to worship him, someone to love him. But you see somebody that loves God, that God's making love to, love their husband. They want to cover that up. They want to cover their shame because they only want that person to enjoy their body. We just want our husband. We want Jesus to enjoy our body. A wife just wants her husband to enjoy her body. But she don't want every man enjoying her body. She don't want every man touching. That's reserved. That's put in the marriage between those two. That's why he didn't want Israel bowing down to any other gods. He's a jealous God. He don't want anybody else going with his wife. What man wants another man with his wife? What woman wants another woman with? There has to be a mar there. That vessel is mar everything. It's perverted. It's not thinking right. If you have bitter envy and jealousy, all those are works of the flesh. See, but there's security when you're a vessel being shaped and molded. And God's going to have to break that vessel. He's going to have to get that piece of sand out of that vessel. He's going to have to get all air pockets out of that vessel. If you cook this and it's got an air pocket in it, that vessel can break right there because it's not right. If you paint something, if you don't get it just right, that paint's going to bubble up and it'll start to peel because you didn't work the primer into it right. It wasn't the right temperature. You didn't get it cleansed right. It's not going to adhere to the surface right. If you're painting with the right paint, you have to strip all that other stuff down. You have to get everything out of there. You can't paint with all those foreign obstacles in there. And then for that paint to adhere, you have to put it on at a certain temperature, and you have to hold that temperature. God's going to put us in the oven. He's going to put us in the furnace, and we're going to have to hold that temperature. Jeremiah seeing that it was much more to be in God than just talk. Just wish and happen. He's seen that God has something in mind for his life. God had something in mind for all the vessels, and that he stopped complaining. We'll stop murmuring and complaining against God when we start seeing, as Job said, I've heard of you, God, but now I see. When we start seeing what God's saying, we go cease. We go self go decrease. We go start to increase with God. We're going to grow in grace. We're going to become a vessel of honor. We're going to purge ourselves. We're going to start allowing God to create this purge. We're not going to even do that because God's going to keep throwing us from thing to thing. And you will be praying and talking. I don't wonder why I'm in this. I wonder why I'm in that. Because it's God putting you in those things now. You're not going jumping in the fire. God's putting you in the fire because he's testing you. He's bringing you through. He said, look, Go try Job right there. He wanted, because he had temperate Job to be able to take these things. When you go down to the potter's house, God's the potter, and that vessel's going to suffer. That vessel's going to suffer. That vessel's going to go through a whole lot of things because God's making it for a permanent, for eternal use. But if flesh and blood is not subject to the laws of God, it cannot be. It cannot. It's a carnal man cannot be the subject to the laws of God. One day he's going to do something out of character. This is out of character. You can see things that's out of character. God wants to beat all that. He's going to beat it out of you. Who had resisted his will? He's going to achieve something. Jesus said, I'm the author and the finisher of your faith. Well, you don't write how you're going to do the characters in a book. The author does that. I don't care what the people say. Because some things, even though we won't, may be lawful, but it's not expedient. It doesn't work out for the best. It doesn't work out for the best. You don't want your children to suffer, but you have to beat them. If you don't beat them, when they get older, they're not going to be able to be disciplined. They're not going to relate doing wrong to something else. Those are the ones that we're wrestling with now because they're used to having their way, and they don't know what punishment is. They've spared the rod. If you spare the rod, if you spare judgment, that child's going to be spoiled. He's going to be for the shame of his parents. Jesus don't want us to be shamed. We're not going to shame him. See, David, he says, you cause my name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. We don't want to blaspheme in the name of God. We don't want to do anything. Joseph said, how could I do this sin and sin against God? Because he was the example of God's servant. Heavenly Father, as we are shaped